as she said, I'm John Morris with Spirit FM. I've been there for about 35 years, and I have, like everybody else, you know, you take it one day at a time. And so what I'm going to be talking about is more of a micro communication versus a macro big world. And a lot of this is dealt on my own experiences and retreats I've been on. You may have heard the phrase, make a friend, be a friend, bring that friend to Christ. It's a Curcio mantra that we use, but I think it's true across the board. This talk is supposed to be about faith that's appealing, but I think it's also discipleship, because really that's what everything boils down to. The Holy Father every year puts out a document on the feast day of St. Francis de Sales on communication, and this year his topic was speaking with the heart, you know, the truth in our lives and how we do that, and really in social communications, boy, it's a crazy world out there. I want to bounce a little bit off what Ryan was saying a little bit ago, and this is my own personal observation, opinion, and it's what Father Mike touched on this morning at Mass. He said he used to do 80 weddings a year and maybe three in one day. Incredible. Now he's down to about 20 maybe for the parish. I would contend that since over the last 10 years, we've seen more education take place in colleges and universities away from the university. People are doing it virtually. And I know when I was coming up, man, that was the perfect ground to find a bride. And people aren't interacting anymore. And it's less and less. And so people have forgotten to learn how to courtship. I think that's something that the church needs to look at, because I can see some parallels with that. So how do we communicate? We don't do it very friendly when you go online. There are some posts and that sort of thing, but I think one of the paragraphs that in that document that the Holy Father wrote on was called cordial communications. Cordial communications. How do we come across cordially? We're called to speak the truth, and we're called to do so in charity. Charity being love. So how do we do that? Years ago, I was I'd been the manager a couple of years, and I was at a collection at a YMCA. We were collecting food, and I'm standing there at the door next to the bin. People are coming up, dropping their food, going into the gym. A lady comes up to me and starts telling me how great the radio station is. You don't know what you've done. It has saved my life. And she tells me her story. And she starts to cry. And she tells me about this tragedy that she was going through, this difficult time. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, John, what do you do? And so she said, would you pray for me? I said, would you like to pray right now? And she said, oh, that would be fantastic. Now the door's sliding back and forth. People are zipping in and out, doing their thing. So we kind of stood to the side, and I took her by the hand. And in that 5 seconds, I'm thinking, God, give me something to say, because I've never done this with anybody. Like, I go in Mass, and I kneel down and pray, or I, God, can you open up traffic? I'm running late for work. But I've never done this. So exactly. I take her by the hand, and I don't know what came out. But we prayed for about a minute. I opened my eyes, and there were 4 or 5 people standing around. They knew what was going on. And then we hugged, and she went on her way. I've never seen her again. But that was a moment. That was a moment. And as I tell you that story, there are ways that we can communicate. And sometimes I look for the words, and sometimes you can use inflections in your voice. Our priests are really good at that, especially the good homilists. There's 2 of them right in here. And I haven't heard you speak, so I can't speak, but I'm sure you're great. Yeah, but that's right. Father Mike has got a podcast, Seeds of Hope. And what a great storyteller. Who remembers NPR back in the day? They used to have a show called A Prairie Home Companion with Garrison Keillor. Yeah. Oh, everybody loved it. Yes. Yeah. And at the end of the last 30 minutes of the show was the news from Lake Wobegon. And Garrison Keillor, who was the host of the show, would tell stories. And he did it in such a way that just captivated you. He painted that picture of that small town and how Pastor Enquist had to do this or that or had to do something crazy. But he drew you in. He drew you in. He painted that picture. And the same can be said when we communicate to individuals. Like I said, with the person that I spoke with at the Y. And I did it again. This December, we Spirit FM was blessed with a company that helped us give away $500 gift cards to people who really needed it during Christmas. And this was a lady who was a winner. She was nominated by someone else. She just lost her husband like 6 months ago. She was 38 years old, died of a heart attack. She's got 6 kids. Yeah. And she said, "You just don't know what." And she cried right there in the parking lot. And we hugged, and you know, you're just there for them. So, what we do in person, we have to try to do on the radio, and we have to try. We, you guys, and meet together. We also have to do in our social media. You know, don't get argumentative. Jesus never really got argumentative. The only time I really think he was really upset was when he saw what was going outside the temple, started busting things up a little bit. But, you know, Christ said, look, if you go to a house, they don't want you there. You just dust off your feet and move along. You don't get in an argument. So we have to use our voice. You have to be yourself. Smile when you're with someone. A friendly smile. I use this example often. My uncle. I love my uncle. But it's got to be a genuine smile. Hadn't seen him in a while. I'm going to walk away here. And he'll come up. And he'll look at you. John, he tilts his head a little bit. How are you doing? Mm-hmm. He looks me square in the eye. He's a banker. So that's part of his profession. But I know he's genuine. But, you know, I've got that long, lifelong relationship with him where I'm like, okay, is this real or not? But you're going to be that authentic Christian. That's what you're called to do. And I noticed the other thing he did. He looked at me. He tilted his head like he was listening to everything I had to say. And he said my name. So when Yvonne comes up to me at the Y and she introduces herself, and she tells me her story, I'm not trying to solve the problem like I do with my wife when she comes home and says, the kids were rotten, they're running around, and I say, well, why don't you do this? I learned early on in my marriage,
Don't say that.
Say, I'm sorry, honey. What can I do to help you? How do you think we can get through this? Use those kind of phrases when you're communicating. How would you like to see the outcome of this come out? My buddy uses this term when I'm often digging the fire pit or doing some sort of manual labor, he'll come up jokingly and say, what can I say to help you? It's not what can I do to help you, it's what can I say to help you. I said, why don't you just go sit down and do something, get out of my face. When someone's talking to you, don't get your phone out. That's a big distraction, and it's easy to do. Don't let those phone vibrating distract you. Touch is always a good one, like I said. When you touch somebody, you got to know the right person. You got to feel the Holy Spirit will move you. You know, put hand on the shoulder if you're going to pray. Ask them if you want to pray for them. We do this a lot. We're all guilty of it. Would you pray for me? Sure. And I'll remember to do it later on. Even Fernando, our announcer, said it yesterday. He said, you know, I often try at the end of the day to say, God, I know there was somebody else supposed to pray for, and I think I forgot. So anybody that I said I would pray for, God, you know their needs, and I offer them up to you now. Another way to do it. You know, sometimes when people call you, it seems like it's inconvenient. It's always at the worst time. And that's kind of bad to say, but it happens. And believe me, I get calls about once a week from someone, or they'll even come up to the station itself, and I'm in the middle of something. But I get up and I go, or I'll take the call, and usually the receptionist gets the vent if it's someone upset. And they'll go for a little bit, and then they'll call me and say, John, there's a very upset listener on the phone. Well, by the time I get to it, they've calmed down a little bit. So I let them talk a little bit again, and then again, I'll pray for them at that point. But you just want to let them get it out and then repeat back what they said. This is what I'm hearing you say. That way it's affirming that you were listening, in fact. And I can't emphasize enough also a handwritten note. We get emails. It's easy to send text emails, but a handwritten note to someone just saying, hey, thanks for whatever it was. I still have in my desk a handwritten note from Bishop Larkin. It was back in the early 90s. He had retired, but he sent a note saying, hey, John, congratulations on your new appointment. Just wanted to say hello. It was a little postcard. It still sits in my desk. Handwritten note. They mean a lot. So those cards that we talk about sending to young people, they mean a lot to the older people as well.